Hello and welcome to the America Magazine podcast. I'm joined this week in our new studio. We're very excited by Rona Tarrant. Welcome, Rona.
Thanks, Minion.
Rona is a broadcaster and writer from Ireland, now based here in New York City, and has an article in the March 17th issue, so our St. Patrick's Day issue, called Tolling for the Ireland Adapts the Angelus for the 21st Century. So this is an interesting story, Rona, that you tell here about the Angelus and its history in Ireland. Maybe you can start by going back in history and how this developed along with, I guess, the creation of Ireland as a state.
Okay, well, I suppose it kind of began back in 1950 when the Angelus was first kind of brought in for the year of the Annunciation. It was brought in by the Archbishop John Charles McQuaid, and this was kind of seen as something that, you know, was kind of a symbol of Irish Catholicism at the time, that the state broadcaster and Irish religion were very much intertwined. Then when TV came in 1962, it was promoted to television, and I suppose for years the Angelus on television was kind of accompanied by pictures, old master paintings of the Annunciation, and it was kind of seen as a reflection of the hugely Catholic population.
Well, maybe you could just tell, like, the Angelus, maybe some of our readers know and listeners know what it's about, but it's just a time during the day when people sit down for a moment of prayer, correct?
Yeah, so it's broadcast on RTE Radio at 12 o'clock noon and at 6 o'clock in the evening. So basically, the programming stops for 1 minute and 15 seconds and the bell toll goes. Now, traditionally, this was seen as a Catholic thing because the state broadcaster in Ireland would have broadcast Mass, it would kind of really have promoted the kind of whole Catholic identity. Over the last few years, though, Catholicism has really changed in Ireland. The whole idea of what it means to be an Irish Catholic has really changed. And I think that RTE kind of had to adapt to this. Now, many things happened. Around the time, the mid-90s, the scandals in the Catholic Church began. They started in 1992 with Bishop Eamon Casey, who actually was found out to have had fathered a child with an American woman. Now, that was the first of all the scandals. Now, some people think this was kind of innocent by today's standards and by the things that came out afterwards. But throughout the 1990s, the Catholic Church really went through a big shake-up. Also, at the same time, the Celtic Tiger started, which was the economic boom in Ireland. So at the same time, there was all these kind of sex scandals, and Ireland was becoming like a country in Western Europe that was developing economically, socially. We had more immigration. So what the Angelus meant in Ireland changed an awful lot. So that's where kind of I talk about in the article, where Roger Childs came in from the BBC in 2007. And basically, he'd inherited the Angelus from his predecessors. So he stopped, he looked at it, and he kind of just tried to redefine it.
It's interesting that Ireland was one of the few, is perhaps the only country to have this. I mean, even Poland didn't have something like this, a very Catholic country.
Well, you kind of have to go back in history a little bit. I mentioned John Charles McQuaid, but I'll keep this quite brief. He was kind of probably one of the most iconic figures in Catholicism in 20th century Ireland. He had a very close relationship with Éamon de Valera, who was the president of Ireland. And Éamon de Valera, when he was Taoiseach as well, he actually had the Constitution of Ireland run past him. And he, when RTE was first established, the television, in 1962, because it was in his diocese of Dublin, he wanted all control over everything that was going to go on television. So they didn't, obviously. They reached a compromise, basically. And so he got a kind of a little church in the television studios. So when John Charles McQuaid suggested that there was going to be an Angelus on television, it kind of just seemed like an obvious thing to do. There was a really close relationship between the church and the state and even the state broadcaster. So I think that's probably where it came from. It came from a whole different generation.
And it's very interesting, as you point out, it's kind of tracked the history of the church in Ireland, in that it was something that was popular, but then slowly, amid the Celtic Tiger and the sexual abuse revelations, it started to seem like a relic that people wanted to kind of do away with. But that's not what they've done. They've tried to adapt it. Maybe you can talk about that.
Yeah, so basically around, maybe it was probably around the time of the mid-90s, this issue of getting rid of the Angelus kind of came in out of the newspapers. Always, every time it comes in out of the newspapers, it gets a huge reaction. Now, Ireland is still a majority Catholic country. 86% of the country, over 86% of the country is still Catholic. And I think that RTE, as Roger Child said, you know, you can't confuse secularism with balance. I mean, so many people found meaning in this. So what he tried to do basically was he came in and he took the tradition and said, right, okay, how can we make this inclusive? So what he did was he got a production company to go out and get 7 reflections of Irish life. So instead of what the Angelus used to be, which was kind of, it would be about a minute and 15 seconds of different shots of Irish life, but there'd be a lot of Catholic imagery in it. So what he did was he kind of basically took out the Catholic imagery and just had 7 different reflections of 7 different people in Irish life. One is an immigrant woman in Dublin. One of probably my favourite one is a lady down in Clare who's polishing a memorial. Now, it's a really simple thing. It's just the Angelus is tolling in the background. She's polishing a memorial to her son who actually drowned in the river. And she's just taking a minute out of her day to just kind of think. So what Roger Child said was, you know, this can actually be an inclusive thing. We can use this as something where, you know, we have a lot of minutes in a day. Why not take 1 minute to step back for everybody to just have a think about what they're grateful for?
It's interesting. There was some criticism, I guess, of the older version. You have some funny quotes in here that some people thought that these people would just stare into space, and it seemed like that it was a Dawn of the Dead moment. So people, this had become a source of some almost parody.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think what Roger Child's biggest problem was, it wasn't actually the Angelus itself. It was the whole branding of it and the whole image of it. Whereas when he took out maybe all this kind of branding and all the really bad amateur acting, let's be honest, it actually became something else. It became something entirely different. And I think, to be honest with you, it's been quite well received over the last few years.
Now, it seems to track, and you have this quote in your piece, with the movement in Ireland and, of course, in this country as well, going from religious to spiritual. A lot of people make that identification. Has there been any criticism of that this is kind of robbing some kind of Catholic element of the Angelus?
I suppose there's been criticism from both sides here. You have criticism from Catholic people who say, you know, why are you taking out the Catholic out of our tradition? There's also the argument then as well that this is not necessarily a Catholic tradition because it goes back to the 12th century. The other side of it is that some atheists and some humanists were quite annoyed because they were saying, why should we all be uniting under this traditionally Catholic call to prayer? So it seems that on both sides that there is kind of an issue of contention. What Roger Childs, I think, was trying to do was trying to be inclusive to as many people as possible. Actually, it's interesting that on Good Friday, traditionally, that the Angelus isn't broadcast in Ireland on the state broadcaster. But Roger Childs received so many letters from humanists and so many letters from atheists who were saying that this, you know, shouldn't be a Catholic thing. They shouldn't be promoting Catholicism. And he said, you know, we shouldn't. And therefore, this is not going to be a Catholic thing. This is going to be a moment for reflection. So he actually ended up broadcasting it on Good Friday. So he said, ironically, by listening to the atheists, he actually ended up broadcasting it more.
Now, the quote you refer to, and I think it's worth repeating here because it's a good one. It's, for the person of faith, this is a moment of grace. For the person of no faith, it is a moment of peace. And he says, there are 1,440 minutes in the day, and this is just one. So when you put it that way, there's nothing like this on American TV where everybody can get together and just kind of take a deep breath and take a break.
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, the future of the Angelus is kind of uncertain. As I kind of mentioned in the article as well, you know, through the years, through probably from mid-90s to maybe 2008, 2009, the Angelus and Mass was sharing a schedule with investigative reports into the damage that many figures in the church had done. So, I mean, the Angelus itself has kind of had a rocky few years, but I think that there is definitely something that people of all faiths can take, and especially the fact that it is, Ireland still remains a largely Catholic country. Now, people might say they're more spiritual, or they might say that they don't identify with any religion at all, but I think that if you take it for what it is, and if you take it just as a moment of reflection, everybody can find something in it.
Now, maybe we could talk a bit about the work you do here in New York. You contribute to RTE Radio, and you're covering religious current affairs in the district of history and some business stories. So there is a natural interest in religion in Ireland. What kind of things are you reporting on?
Well, I suppose the main thing that I'm working on this week is the St. Patrick's Day parade. There's that whole issue of Bill de Blasio not marching in the parade, despite the fact that, you know, many of his predecessors would have. Now, this is actually a really interesting issue for Ireland at the moment, because in Ireland, there is no ban on homosexuals marching under their own banner. It's just the New York parade. And I think I've talked to a lot of people. I've talked to a lot of American Catholics and Irish Catholics about it. And there seems to be this kind of idea that maybe for a certain amount of people that they maybe are stuck in a different era that, you know, they're not progressing. Then there's also the argument that this is, in essence, a religious parade. It is the St. Patrick's Day parade. It is a private organization, and no other group is allowed to advance any political agenda. So I think that's a really interesting one for Ireland at the moment. Plus, we also have so many Irish-American nuns out here who are doing fantastic work in New York. So I'm working on a series on that at the moment as well. So there is huge interest. I mean, America is such an interesting place as well, because there's so many mirrors to Ireland. There's so many deep connections, particularly between the nuns and the religious institutions.
Well, still here in New York City, the church in many ways obviously has a long Irish history, and you still see it. And, you know, Cardinal Dolan being of Irish descent, and I think pretty much every cardinal for most of the last century has been of Irish descent. So there's still very strong ties there. Is the Prime Minister in Ireland also marching? Did I hear that?
Enda Kenny is, yeah.
In the St. Patrick's Day?
He is marching, yeah, but Joan Burton won't be, so one of the other ministers won't be.
Okay, because of this controversy.
Because of the controversy, yeah. So it is a big deal. Now, there was a St. Patrick's for All parade that Bill de Blasio did march in, but Bill de Blasio seems to be kind of, in a lot of Irish-American, a lot of Irish-Americans would see Bill de Blasio as picking fights with the Irish-American community. Now, they see the St. Patrick's Day parade as just that. The other thing they see is the ban on horse-drawn carriages in New York City, because 60% of them are Irish-American. So when you talk to a lot of Irish-Americans at the moment, Bill de Blasio, depending on, you know, what your views are, he could be quite a popular guy or quite an unpopular guy. But there definitely is there's a great interest from Ireland in New York and the things that are going on here.
And of course, there's an article in the paper today that Liam Neeson has become one of the vocal defenders of the carriage trade industry. And he's Irish, of course. And a lot of it is because of his Irish connections. And that's why he's coming to the defense of this industry.
Yeah, well, I think it's really interesting. I've been working on a piece on it now for about 2 weeks. And I can kind of see both sides of the argument. Now, you can understand why, you know, they would want to ban them. You know, people say it's inhumane. People say that it's, you know, of a different era. But then I think also what needs to be done if they are to be phased out, if they are to be banned, you know, if that has to be the case, that there definitely has to be something put in place. You can't just say to these guys whose fathers came over with nothing and built up a business as horse-drawn carriages and then passed it on to their sons, and it's part of their identity. You can't just tell them that they can't do it anymore and that's it. So I think that's a big issue at the moment. I was up talking to a few of them. Many of them are first-generation Irish, many of them are second-generation Irish, and they're very proud of what they do. The whole electronic carriages as well, I think some of them are saying, you know, it's going to cost $150,000 to buy, and they're not even sure if they'll make money off it. It's an interesting one, and Liam Neeson kind of wading into the debate as well has really kind of pushed their side of things. Now, Bill de Blasio hasn't actually made a move on it, even though he said it was one of the first things he was going to do when he came into office. So we'll see. It'll be an interesting one.
Yes, this is a local New York story, but one that, you know, these horse-drawn carriages are only a couple blocks from here at America House, and I often see them going back to their stables down on 55th Street. So it's part of life that people run into all the time here in New York, but one of some controversy, because there's a lot of people who are against it. So that's one of the stories you're reporting on, and we hope we can continue this relationship, and you let us know when there's some interesting stories we'd like to highlight. So Rona Tarrant, we want to thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.